We are starting a new parsha, which is Parshas Tzav. Yesh ba teisha mitzvos asei, v'teisha gam kein mitzvos los asei. There are nine of each, very evenly divided, of positive and negative commandments in Parshas Tzav. Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Aleph 131, mitzvas haramas hadeshen. This is cleaning out the ashes from the altar. She yasir ha-kohen hadeshen b'chol yom v'yom me'al ha-mizbeach. There has to be a kohen, clean out the ashes every day from the altar. V'zeo shenikra trumas hadeshen. This is called the lifting, the removal of the ash. Shaisa nasis b'chol yom, it was done every day, shnevar. V'lavash ha-kohen midovad v'hirimes hadeshen. He should take out the ash from the altar. Mishor she mitzvah zo, mashikasavnu lemala. What's the reasoning? It's part of the general Beis HaMikdash type mitzvahs. Lahagdil kvod habayis, lahadra b'chol yecholteinu min hatam shamarnu shamet. The Beis HaMikdash has to be nice. If you have tons and tons of ash piling up on the altar, that's not so gishmak, it's not so easy to work there. You have to make sure that people take out the garbage, basically, yeah, on a regular basis. You got to take out the ash from the place where you're going to light fire. That the fire burns more nicely on the altar when there's no ash on the bottom of it. Just think of your Hanukkah candles or something. When you take out the garbage, then you have just pure oil there and nice new wick, so the fire burns much more nicely than otherwise. Midine hamitzvah. It's not that anybody gets to do this. You might think that since it's just removing the garbage, it's not a specific task of the Beis HaMikdash per se that involves the sacrifices and things. It's just housekeeping. Just like in a hotel, you don't have the concierge and the hotel owners going around taking the garbage from all the rooms. That's the housekeeping staff. But you do have but this is not true. You have the real people who are involved in the work of the hotel or the Beis HaMikdash take out the garbage in this case because it's considered so important for the workings of the Beis HaMikdash. Uvigdei hakehuna shayu tormin bahen hadeshen hayu pchusin min hakelim shemeshamish ben shar avodos. However, the one difference is that the Kohen didn't wear his usual garments to do this taking out of the ashes. He wore a less fancy type of Kohen garment. Yeah.
Jeez.
Shenemar ufashat es begadav velavash begadim achirim, that he should take off his clothes and put on new clothes. Ve'afal pi she pasuk ze nemar b'tzas adeshen al michutz amachan. And this is talking not about taking the ashes off the altar, but taking the stuff that you took off the altar way outside, out of the encampment at all, out of the city of Yerushalayim. Mikol makom gam b'trumas adeshen enu kishemasalik osa me'al hamizbech u'merido l'ritzba she'itz hamizbech. That means just the first stage where you take off the ashes from the top of the altar and you put it next to the altar on the bottom, on the floor of the courtyard of the temple. So it's wouldn't be in the spirit just even to do this part, even though it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah that it needs different clothes. But it wouldn't be in the spirit to use the same big day kahuna. It should be obvious that you should use a more simple clothes. V'nemar b'zeh al derech mashal begadim shibishal ben kidera l'rabo yimzog ben kos l'rabo. So let's say you have the butler who's working in a fancy estate, and the butler has two functions. First, he has to cook the meal, and then he has to serve the meal. So when he serves the meal, obviously he has to wear a tuxedo and a bow tie and fancy white shirt. And while he's cooking the meal, he's obviously not going to wear that. So it's not because it just doesn't make sense. So here too, when he's doing the fancy avodah, the real, the more mechubedik type of worship in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the actual offering of the sacrifices, it's not appropriate to wear the same clothes as when he's doing the dirtier work of taking away the ashes. V'masai tormin hadeshen. When does this take place that they remove the ashes from the altar? B'chol yom ishiyah le'amud hashachar. So basically, this has to be done before the workday begins to make sure that the altar is nice and clean so that the sacrifices can burn properly. And on a normal day, this takes place at dawn. And dawn is when the first light of the sun appears on the horizon. And it's about an hour and a half And during the spring and summer, it's approximately an hour and a half before what we call sunrise. Maybe a little less than an hour, 20 minutes. I don't know. But that's when the fast day starts. Also, when you have a fast day that starts in the morning, it starts. That's considered the beginning of the halachic day when the very first light appears in the horizon. That's called Alos HaShachar. And it's funny because this is the language of the Rambam. The language of the Mishnah is when the cock starts crowing. Kros Hagavar. So the question is, some point out that this, that Trumas HaDeshen really is supposed to be during the nighttime, whereas after Alos HaShachar, it's already halachically daytime. So it could be that what the Rambam meant is when, again, it's hard to understand, but some people say that the cock crows before there's even the first light, which is a little strange. So we assume, how does he know that it's coming?
Because
yeah.
What?
They don't.
Animals know.
Yeah, they do.
That's Sech Vivina.
They have a different radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, exactly. That's Sech Vivina. But in any case, it could be that the Ramba means Mishiyah Lambud HaShachar means slightly before. It means around the time of Alos HaShachar of dawn, and not specifically. It's not a halachic thing that it has to be done during daytime. Quite the opposite, in fact, that is really supposed to be during the night, ideally. Uvan Moadim Mishlish Acharon Shel Halayla. So on holidays there are lots of extra sacrifices. You have the Musaf and all these things. So since on holidays there are extra sacrifices, so you start with the Trumas HaDeshen from the last third of the night. So in other words, you divide the nighttime into three parts, and you start from the beginning of the final third of the nighttime. And in Yom Kippur, since there's so many korbanos that it takes much, much more time, you have to get the mizbeach prepared even earlier. So you start at midnight. The chitzad torminosa, how do you do it? Misha zacha uba garalo la'asira. Again, they had a sort of lottery where they decided which kohen was going to do which avoda. So the person who picked, who drew the straw that said Trumas HaDeshen on it, so he's Tovel, so he has to go to the mikvah. We have an idea that when a Kohen begins to do with his avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, even if technically he's Tahor, he's ritually pure, so there's no real halachic reason per se that he needs to go to the mikvah, you have to go to the mikvah before beginning the worship in the Beis HaMikdash. So he's got... Right, so Velovesh Bigde Harama, so then he puts on, after his immersion, he puts on the lesser quality priestly clothing. Umekadesh Yadav Araglav, and after he gets dressed, he goes to the Kiyor, and he sanctifies his hands and feet with the water from the Kiyor. Yeah? Vahayu Omrim Lo Echav HaKohanim, Hizor Shematiga Bakliya Chikadesh Yadav Araglacha. The other Kohanim used to look over his shoulder and, you know, be a little annoying and say, you know, remember, don't touch any of the vessels until you've done the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Even if he didn't sleep, for example, so you still have to, Kohen still has to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim before beginning the worship in the Beis HaMikdash the second day, what we call Yodav Nifsalu Balina, that just by the passage of the nighttime, Kohen's hands become unfit to do the service in the Beis HaMikdash, and they had to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim anew from the Kiyor, which is one of the reasons why we wash our hands when we get up in the morning, because it's in a remnant, a remembrance for what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, that to start your day, you wash your hands. Then you take the shovel, the Shel Kesef Haisa, this was a silver shovel, a very pretty shovel. Nesuna b'miktzoos bein keves lamizbeach b'mrama rovo shel keves. So it was put on the western side of the kevesh, of the ramp leading up to the altar. V'notal samachta v'olol rosh hamizbeach v'mafanas hagecholim heilach v'heilach. You take the silver shovel and you go up to the top of the altar and you move the coals to either side. V'chosem in hagecholim shesachlu b'leiv hoish v'yored lamata haaretz. You shovel the coals that have disintegrated because they've been in the heart of the fire. Then you have this shovel full of these ashes. Then you go down and you turn toward the north. You go north, east, about 10 amos. Betzover sagicholim shechasal gabi haritzba. Rachog min akeves shlosha tvachim imakam loras of adishin hamizbech hapnimi v'hamenorah. And you put in a designated spot where you dumped off the shovel with all this coal detritus. And that was about the same place that they put the innards of the birds that were sacrificed, and where they would put the ashes of the inner altar also. This is what has to be done every day. The shoveling of the coals, the disintegrated coals on top of the altar, and bringing it to this spot near the base of the altar, three tvachim away. And that's what has to be done every day, and occasionally when even that gets too much, so they had to take that out of Yerushalayim, as we said before. That's what the Torah is talking about when it says that all the stuff has to be taken out of the machane. De'achar sheyorad zeh shetaram. So after the person who's doing the avoda finishes, by the way, it's interesting that he uses the word taram over here. What's one of the famous examples, just in terms of anyone who's mildly interested in philology? So really, the shorish is resh vav mem. In other words, to be high. Resh vav mem, rum levilti, rum levavo, has to be high. The herim is the hifil, which means the causative, to cause something to become high, meaning you take the thing and you remove it. But one of the noun formations is tiruma. You have a tuf as a prefix, and then resh vav mem, and then hey at the end. So because the noun was tiruma, so that was sort of, and since the vav can serve as a vowel, it serves here all really as a vowel letter, so it's not as immediately clear that it's part of the root. So from the noun tiruma with the prefix tuf, it was reanalyzed as being from the shoresh tuf resh mem. So since the word truma was reanalyzed as from the shoresh tuf resh mem instead of as resh vav mem, so we have now a verb taram, which means either to remove the deshen or to contribute, like truma, that the kohanim eat is a contribution. So we created a new Hebrew verb by this way, by including the prefix of a noun as part of the shoresh of a verb. So ratzim echav hakohanim u'mekachim yideyam v'raglayam b'mehera. So after this guy, this Kohen, takes out the detritus of the coals from the altar, the rest of the Kohanim run towards him, v'notlin es ha-magrefos v'atznoros v'olin l'rosh ha-mizbech. They take these other types of stoking tools, and they run to the head of the altar, v'gorfin es ha-deshen v'kot tzadi ha-mizbech v'osmen ha-reim al-gabi tapuach. Then they take, from all around the mizbech, they take out the other a detritus that spread on the other parts of the altar, and they put it on the tapuach, which was like one of the piles of stuff that was on the altar. There's a special vessel that they would use when even this pile got too big, what we call the tapuach. And they would take a special vessel and take some of that off. The omed sham ad shemotzien oso kulo michutz lamachane. Then you take until they got it, take it all out outside of the courtyard of Yerushalayim. The eser proteh b'maseches tamid v'yoma. It's explained in maseches tamid and yoma exactly how the altar was cleaned. Yeah. Mitzvah kuf lamed. V'noegus man was bayis b'zichrei kehuna. It has to be male kohanim. V'over alev alo hisiro kemitzvah sabitel aseif. If you didn't do it according to the way it was described, require, then you neglected to perform a positive commandment. Mitzvah kuf lamed beis, 132nd mitzvah. Mitzvahs hadlokas eishal hamizbeach b'chol yom. Mitzvah to light fire on the mizbeach every day. Lahavir eishal hamizbeach b'chol yom tamid. To light fire on the altar every day, always. Shenemar eish tamid tukada hamizbeach. Fire shall always burn on the altar. They have this pasuk if you're familiar with it, there's a shul called Ish Kodesh in Woodmere. It's for those modern Orthodox Jews who have more of a Hasidic bent. Yes. So it's called Ish Kodesh. So they have on top of the Aron, Ish Tamid Tukada HaMizbeach. There should always be fire burning on the altar. Say, usually on the top of the altar you have Dalif Nebiyata Omeid, or you have Shavisi Hashem LeNegdi Tamid, but okay, they want to have this pasuk. Vav perush al tamid. What's the meaning of always? Kolomar lahasim bo eitzim ba boker vein harbaim. Put wood in the morning and in the afternoon. But they are amru zichron levracha. Afal pi shayish yorid min hashamayim mitzvah lavim min ha'edid. Even though in the Beis Hamikdash fire comes from heaven, still we should make our own fire also, because it shows that we're doing our contribution to the running of the Beis Hamikdash. What is this mitzvah? What do you mean? Why is there a separate mitzvah to have fire on the altar? There has to be fire all the time. There's korbanos every day. Obviously, you need fire to offer sacrifices. No, this is a separate mitzvah. This was a separate fire. They used to light a separate fire that they did not use for the korbanos. There used to be three different flames on the Mizbeach, which we're going to explain a little bit later. I'm going to explain what's the reasoning behind this mitzvah. And when God does miracles for us, because he wants to do be nice to us, so he does them quietly. God doesn't like performing really open miracles. He wants it to appear as if it's sort of natural, or at least close to being natural. Even when the sea split, which is obviously one of the biggest miracles in history, there was wind blowing that split the sea, and he attributes it really, and it wasn't just that all of a sudden the sea went whoosh, there was wind blowing the whole night, so it looked sort of like it was part of the natural order. The reason that God wants to do it this way is because he's so great and we're so lowly that it's not appropriate that he should be doing really outlandish things for us. But
way, not that we're undeserving, but that the Torah itself, everything, is not direct.
It's not all about us.
Well, not just that it's not all about us, but you see, even so many things, a direct revelation is almost carries a certain danger with it. So things are sort of translated, and also perhaps because we have to do a certain amount of work in order to bring something ourselves. So right. God just simply were to say, okay, the sea is split, then it would be too easy in a way. I mean, we have to put something of our own emun into it.
This is why God commanded us to burn fire on the altar. Even though when it was the Beis HaMikdash, the fire actually came from the heavens. Kedei lahaster hanes. So in other words, people see us bringing the fire, so it's not the miracles of fire coming down from heaven is not as obvious. So what does it mean? It's not that there was a big column of fire that started in the clouds and went woo, and went on the and then touched the fire on the altar and it started bursting into flame. That was only on the eighth day of when they dedicated the Mishkan. So there were certain times where it talks about fire coming down from heaven by Gidon and by Manoach, Shimshon's father, where it actually says that the column of fire came from heaven and came to earth. But in general, when we talked about fire coming from heaven on the altar, it doesn't mean that there was this fire thing. It just meant that it burst into flame on the ground without any prior descending of fire from heaven. But we still haven't understood the reasoning why there would have to be another fire burning on the altar besides the one that are necessary for the korbanos. That the reason is similar to that which we wrote by the showbread. So what do we say by the showbread? That when you engage in a certain activity for the purpose of divine worship, so that causes blessing it infuses that deed with spiritual significance. So since, let's say, you're baking bread for the Lechem Aponim, you're showing that you want to bake bread for the service of God, so therefore it's almost an automatic reciprocity that since you show that you're infusing bread with spiritual significance, that when you want to bake bread at home, so it's going to have bracha as well, that it's going to be infused with spiritual significance, and God is going to bless it. That it's almost in the zchus, in the merit of the lechem haponim, the bread that we bake for God, that the bracha is found in the regular bread that we bake at home. It's almost like once the bracha starts in one type of thing, so it spreads into the other things of that nature. So, that when we show that we are creating fire for the purely the service of God, not even a separate thing, not directly for the purposes of the korbanos, then we show that we want bracha to be chal. What? Yeah, fire, that our fire needs divine blessing as well. Mahu age that, but the Sefer Chinuch is going to explain, it's not what you think it is. What is this fire? Hu hateva shebaadam. It's the fire that's in all of us. Ki min ha'arba yesodo shebaadam hu eish vehu rosh larbatan. One of the four, what's it, elements. Ki bo yischazik adam v'yisnoeya v'yifal. So it's the fire within us, well, one of these four elements, that causes us to have energy and act. Well, kein tzricha bracha bo yosa. This is why it needs the greatest bracha. What? Binyan habracha hu shlemus. What it means when we say we want the bracha in our fire is that it's wholeness. Kalomar davar she'ein bo chisaron velo mosar. Not too much and not too little. V'chein ha'ish she'b'adam tzarech lebracha zo she'yevimenu ba'adam ha'at she'tzarech elev. You need just the right amount of fire. You can't be too crazy and you can't be too subdued. Lo pachos ki yechlash gocho, that if there's not enough fire, then he's going to get weak. Velo yoser ki yisarif bo, he's going to burn himself. Kederech min adam shemesim betosefes eish bahem yoser midai vihu akadachas, that if you have a fever, then you're going to die. So you can't have too much fire either. Uvnei aron osifu ba'esh mibalish nitztavu, v'nosaf ba'agam bahem eish v'nisrafu. It's like also what happened with the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, that they had too much fire and they offered their own fire. They were got too excitable about the fire. They went above and beyond, so that's why they ended up dying. Well, that's more of a spiritual thing. Here he's talking about fever being a more of a physical thing. Again, this is not we can't really understand all these things. Medine ha-mitzvah. The halachos of the Mishnah mitzvah, Masha Amar Zichronim Levracha, Afal Pisha Eish Yarda Min Shemayim Mitzvah Lahavi Min HaHedyod. You have to bring our own fire, even though it comes from heaven. Shneemar V'Nasnu B'nei Aron HaKohen Eish. The Kohen have to put fire on the altar. Babokar Yorchin Eitzim Vosim Barosh HaMizbech Maracha Gedola Shal Eitzim. At the top of the fire, the altar, they used to set logs, and they used to set them on fire. Because Shneemar Uveir Alei HaKohen Eitzim Baboker Baboker. So each morning the Kohen has to set fire to these logs. He has to bring two things of wood on the altar besides the main marucha that you burn the korbanos on. So two types of two branches of wood. And in addition to these two in the morning, you bring two in the afternoon with two different kohanim. Shneemar v'archu v'shal shachar kohen echad. The morning, since it says in the singular, so the morning is just one kohen bringing the two, and in the afternoon it's two kohanim each bringing one. V'shalosh ma'arochu shal eish shayu otsim ba'mizbech b'chol yom. They used to put three different things of fire on the mizbech. Harishon negedola, the first was big. Shalim akriv and atomidim shalar korbanos. That's where you actually burnt the korbanos. Shania betzidak tana mimena. Then there's another one that's a little bit smaller. Shemena lochin eish b'machtol akter k'toris b'chol yom. That's where you take the fire, because you know you have to take fire from the big altar to the little altar that's inside the temple building, and that's where you burn the incense. So that's the second setting collection of wood. And there was a third one upon which there was nothing. Elakaya mitzvah seish. That's purely for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah, burning fire on the altar at all times. Shneemar eish tamid tukad al mizbeach. V'shalosh haksuvim b'inyan sheim morim al shalosh marochos eile kemo shelamadnu mipi hashmua. There are three verses that talk about the three piles of wood. So he ha'ola al mokda. Pasuk says on its arrangement of fire. Zomar racha gedola, that's the big one. Ve'isham izbeach tu kadbo. And the fire of the altar shall burn in it. That's the second one. Zomar racha shnia shal ketores. That's the second one from which they would take the fire for the incense. Ve'isham izbeach tu kadbo. That's another verse. Zomar racha shlisha shal kiyam o'ish. That's the third one that's only for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah, burning fire on the altar. Ve'yetzer protam avar mitberek dalet miyoma o'sheinim mitamid. Fourth parak of Yoma and the second parak of Tamid. So if the Kohanim, even if there was fire on the altar from another one of these other settings, collections of wood, arrangements of wood, still they had to, in order to fulfill this mitzvah, they had to have the third pile of wood that's burning on the altar, that's specifically for the mitzvah of fire burning on the altar, and not connected to the korbanos directly. Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Gimel, the 133rd mitzvah, Shelo Lechabo Seish Me'al HaMizbech, the converse of the previous mitzvah that we just talked about, Shelo Lechabo Seish Me'al HaMizbech, Shenemar Eish Tamid Tukad Al HaMizbech, Lo Sichbe. It shall not be extinguished. Mishoret She Mitzvah HaEish, Kasavti Lamal Mitzvah HaSeid Eish Tukad. I explained the reasoning above. That's a mitzvah. Again, there's a bigger separation between the two in the original Sefer HaChinuch, because first it had all the positive commandments in the parsha, then all the negative commandments. But now we have one right after the other. Remember, he has to remind you. Mishor she mitzvah ha'ish, kasat l'mal mitzvah seita ish tukad, v'shor she ursha tzava, v'ish l'avira v'shlo l'chabosa echad hu, v'ein tzorech l'achzira. It's the whole reason that has to be there, and the reason not to extinguish it is the same, so I don't have to go into the details. Midine ha-mitzvah lachos, shema sh'amar zechron al-bracha, sh'afil horit ha'ish me'al ha-mizbeach, v'chibahu loke. Even if it's not like you go onto the top of the altar with a fire extinguisher and you start, spraying around. Even if you took some fire from the top of the altar and you put it out not on top of the altar, that's also a violation of this negative commandment. Aval eish machta, v'eish menorah she'china ba-mizbeach, lahadlik mimena. So the fire that you take from the altar to use for a different purpose, like to take it to the things that you're supposed to light, such as the incense pan and the menorah, the lamp of the Beis HaMikdash. Even if you actually extinguish it while that you were still standing on the altar with this fire, it's still you're still exempt. So that's already removed from its task as the fire of the altar, because you already had in mind that it was going to be used for a different purpose. It's un-altar-fireified, and it's not like you just took it from the mizbeach, you shoved a burning coal from the top of the altar and out of the altar and put that out. That still has a shame. That's still considered fire from the altar because it wasn't changed to a different purpose. Below whose harinu ela kiboy eish hamizbeach has to be altar fire. Shenemar eish tamid tu kadal mizbeach lo sichbev amr besifra lo sichbev lami chikol mechabe over velosase. That if you put it out, then you violated a negative command. Veyeser pratei beperek asir mizvachem. Benoiges v'zman abayis v'zchar men kevos. Could be anyone. Doesn't have to be kohanim. I mean, kohanim shouldn't be. Non-kohanim should not be hanging around the altar anyway. But if somehow non-Kohen got a hold of the fire from the altar and put it out, you'd be just as liable for putting it out. Afil Yisraelim, yeah?
The
over alev echiba afilu gacheles achas meisha mizbeach loke. Even one coal that's burning with altar fire, if you put it out, you've received the penalty of lashes. Mitzvah kufla medala, the 134th mitzvah, mitzvah achila shiari hamenachos. So the mitzvah to eat the part of the meal offering that is eaten. That the Kohanim are supposed to eat the stuff that's left over in the meal offering that's not offered on the Mizbeach. They used to take a handful of the flour and burn it on the Mizbeach, but then you had tons of flour left. You had a whole enough for to make a cake. So after that, then the Kohanim could eat the rest, all the rest of the meal offering. That what's left over, the Aaron and his sons, the Kohanim, should eat. the Lashon Sifra, the Lashon of the Halachic Medrash on Sefer Vayikra, mitzvahs, matzos te'achel mitzvah, that it should be eaten unleavenedly, is a mitzvah. So in other words, you might think that it's optional. The Torah is saying, you know, if the Kohanim wants, so there's all this leftover flour, so why not? Go ahead, use it to bake a cake. But no, it's actually a mitzvah that it must be eaten by the Kohanim. So a similar case is where the Sifra brings Yevamah Yavo Aleha, that when you have a woman who was married to a man and he died without children, then she has she's supposed to marry his brother, as we know the mitzvah of Yibum. So it says, when the Torah is telling you a whole story, when the man dies without children, such and such happens, so then Yevamah Yavo Aleha, then her brother-in-law should marry her. So that's a mitzvah. Klomer sheshnei mitzvah saseh v'lo rishus. They're actually a commandment that the brother-in-law has to marry her. It's not an option. In other words, by the other case, you might by the case of Yibum, if the Torah didn't give explicit permission in this case, then there would be a violation of the prohibition of Eishes Ach. We know that to marry a woman who was ever married to one of your brothers is a nisar karis. It carries the penalty of karis. So that the Torah tells you that Yivamo Yevo Aleha, so we know that the prohibition is lifted in this case, that in this case the Torah, you might think that the Torah just tells you that her brother-in-law may marry her in contrast to the usual rule, but no, it's actually saying that it's not simply an option, that it's actually an obligation for the brother-in-law to marry her, and of course if he doesn't want to marry her, if they don't want to get married, then they perform the ceremony of Chalitza, and then she can marry whoever she wants. So the reasoning for this mitzvah, kasavnu lemala b'mitzvas diachlu osam asher kupar bahem, and the reasoning is that it says in the Torah that those who had effected the atonement should eat the korbanos. It's not talking about the people who brought the offering. In other words, you could, in theory, think that it was talking about the people who brought the offering, that the people who received atonement from this offering may eat the korbanos, the menachos, but that's not the case. It's the people through whom the atonement was effected, that means the kohanim. So that's b'viata tetzave. We're talking, that's in Mitzvah Kuf Beis, that was in, Mitzvah Kuf Beis that we already had. Oh yeah, we talked about it, right, of course, we talked about it before. Asay Gimel, Kishikavot Hula Korban, Sheyochlu B'Misharsi Hashem Ba'atzvam V'lo, Sheidnu L'Pchusim La'ochlam, Kimboshe Kasav Sham. So what we talked about, we're talking about Shmos, in the Tetzaveh, the Parashat Tetzaveh, Shmos, we talked about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so we said generally all these things about how the Beis HaMikdash should run. So one of the ways the Beis HaMikdash should run is that the Kohanim, the people who eat the korbanos, should be the most dignified people actually involved in the divine service in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not proper that the korbanos should just be distributed to anyone who wants, at least the really holy ones. Midine ha-mitzvah, the lachos of the mitzvah, masha amr zifron al-livracha, shekol ha-menachos ha-krevos l'gabi ha-mizbeach nikmatzo. So all the menachos that are offered on the mizbeach are scooped. You would take a handful of the flour and you burn that on the altar. U'makdir ha-kom etkulu al-gabi ha-mizbeach, then you burn that completely on the altar, v'ashar ne'achal ha-kohanim, the rest is eaten by the kohanim, chut v'mincha zichri kehuna, she'ina nikmatzos. The exceptions to this are Menachos, any meal offering that is brought by a male Kohen, is completely burnt on the Mizbeach and is never eaten at all. Shene'emar, v'chol minchas Kohen kolil tiya lo se'achel. That any type of mincha that's brought by a priest may not be eaten. Nimsa she'minchas chinuch v'chaviten.
It's like nobody can
You can't bring a korban for someone else. If you're chayiv in the korban, you have to bring it. So the mincha that a Kohen has to bring when he starts his avoda, which is the minchas chinuch, and the mincha that's offered by the Kohen Gadol daily, minchas chaviten, He has to bring any other type of mincha for the performance of a sin or voluntarily. It's completely burnt on the altar and not a piece is taken out to burn on the altar. Neither. It just is. No, it's not. It's not no punishment. Nothing. It just is. That's why. So I don't think he explained the reasoning for each one individually. He said why he didn't give a shorshei mitzvah for why that has to be burned in particular. Just gave a shorshei mitzvah in general that sometimes you should be able to offer a meal offering. I don't think. Yeah. Okay, that's gonna be your project research. I'll get back to us next time. But a female priestess. But for a female, the daughter of a Kohen, if you prefer that terminology, a female, this rule doesn't apply to her, and her meal offering may be eaten. The Kohen, Adav Kamrina Velo Kohenes. So, yes, Pratem, Mevarim Bimanachos. They'll explain in Masechet Menachos just where you'd expect it to be. Venegas, Vizman Habayis, Vizichre Kihuna, Shnemar, called Zachar. So that's any male Kohen in theory could eat it, but again, practically speaking, it'd be given to the Kohen who are on duty at that time. Yeah. Mitzvah kuf lamed hey. Shelo laso sheri amenachos chametz. So when you have this thing, when you eat the leftover portions of the menachos, so they should not be eaten in a leavened fashion. You shouldn't cook them in a way that they become chametz. Again, it's like we just said that he has to remind us because in the original order this was way before. So they should not be eaten chametz. Their portion I gave them from my fires, who kiiluk amar chelkam shushari amincha lo yafe chametz. So this is the word chametz next to chelkam. So it's saying that no part of it should be cooked as chametz. So perish amar zichronam lebracha of a mishnah by chayavin alfi yasa chametz. And even if it's not eaten as chametz, it's still you're not allowed to make it as chametz at all. Not allowed to turn any part of it into chametz. That's not a real halacha. Chametz before the only day that it's actually asur halachically to eat matzah is on Erev Pesach itself. Yeah, but the custom it's an expansion of the idea. Then since you want the taste of matzah to be fresh and new at the Seder, so people are more people wanted to extend the prohibition, so it'd be even fresher and newer. Which is because some people make fun of it. They say no, halachically it's only asur the day before. What are you doing with all these extensions? But I would argue the opposite. Ashreichem Yisrael, that the Jewish people want to add an extra dimension of freshness to the Seder, so they refrain from eating matzah for longer before it's, even though it's not halakhically required. Again, you go according to your minag or what you feel that you want to do. It's not. So, midine ha-mitzvah. The halakhah of the mitzvah, kion masha amru, zechron levracha, sha-mechametz achar ha-mechametz chayav. That if you make chametz after someone else who makes chametz, then you're liable. So what exactly does this mean? If someone made the whole thing chametz, then you add more sourdough or yeast or something, and it becomes more chametz. Why should you be chayv? It's already chametz. So probably what it means, it's a discussion amongst the Bevarshim, but probably what it means is that one person bakes it as one person needs it as chametz, the next person. Puts like a glaze on it, and the next person bakes it in a manner that becomes more chametz thick in the oven. Each one does a different maisa. It's not just adding yeast or something. Vamechametz mincha psula pater. That let's say the mincha became invalidated in some way, and you cause it to become chametz in your exemption. It's only one that's like actually able to be offered to God. Hakshera l'Hashem velo apsula. Has to be kosher and not invalid. Chimsa barosh hamizbeach ein olokeh. If you cause it to become chametz when you're already on top of the altar, you're not receiving the penalty of lashish. And emar asher tagribu l'Hashem lo seyaseh chametz v'zokvar karva. This is already close. It's already come to the altar, so it has to be something that is just separate. Is not part of the one that actually becomes to the altar. It's just a separate part that's eaten. Ezer pratem avarim beperik chamishim menachos. The fifth parak of menachos. The negus mitzvah zo bezman abayis v'zchar mon kevos. Even if it's a Jew, a regular Jew, a non-Kohen, who cannot take part in it, even if he causes any part of the leftover stuff of the menachos to become chametz, he's also chayav malchus, lashes, vein, tzarech lomar kohen, and certainly a kofa kohen doesn't. Okay.